Genesis 17. I've been singing, I'm so happy, here's the reason why Jesus took my burden all away. Once I'm singing, as the days go by, Jesus took my burden all away. You know that old song?
Yeah.
And I have a happy lesson today. I don't know why. I worked on it for days and days and days. And it just made me very happy. We've been talking about who God is. I didn't realize that myself. We've talked about the covenant. There are three, the Abrahamic, the Jewish rabbi says Abrahamic, the Mosaic, and the New Covenant. The Abrahamic covenant was at the power and instigation of God. God spoke and said, this is what I'm going to do. This is a covenant I am making. And it's a covenant that brought in Jesus, because he was of the lineage of Abraham. He was the seed of Abraham. And brought in the new covenant, ushered in the new covenant. And it was a permanent covenant, it was not temporary. Now, the Mosaic covenant we looked at last week was temporary and became obsolete. It says it was added because of transgressions. It was added to keep God's people stable and steady in this interim time. They had a real problem with obedience. And we understand that because sometimes we don't make our to-do list, you know. They had a problem with obedience. And so God gave the covenant. Now, in all the covenant, God calls himself by various names. And if we know who God is, then we're never going to doubt his healing power, his willingness to heal. It won't happen once we know who he is. Now, in chapter 17 of Genesis, the Abrahamic covenant, God starts in verse 1. Abraham was 99 years old. When we first saw Abraham, he was 75. When God spoke to him and said, leave your family, leave Ur of the Chaldees, and go into a land that I'll show you. And he was obedient. The Lord appeared to Abram, said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before him, be thou perfect, or complete, mature. He said, I am. He introduced himself as Almighty God. He introduced this covenant he's making with Abraham as Almighty God. That's El Shaddai. That's the God that's more than enough. That's the God that's sufficient. One writer said, that's the God with power to do any and every good thing. I love that. That was God's introduction. We can tell by that name alone who he is. The God with the power to do any and every good thing. I love that. Now he gives seven I wills, which we went over. And those I wills were go down, verse 7, to his seed, which according to Galatians was not Isaac, but was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now his natural family became a part of this covenant. A covenant is a binding agreement between two people. It takes one person who's I and the next person who's I and binds them together and they become us. And so God is going to make a covenant that depends not on Abraham. They're going to depend on God alone. And God fulfilling his will say, I am going to make you a great nation. I am going to make kings come out of you. I am going to give you the promised land. He says, I will, I will, I will make this covenant. And then he says in verse 7, I will establish my covenant. See, I'm going to do this. Between me and thee and thy seed, who's Christ, after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God, to be God unto thee. If we could grasp how big that is. And then he repeats it, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. He said, I'll be God to you. And that really means I'll be the true God. I'll be the God of power. It's Elohim, the God of power. That immediately ropes in healing. It immediately ropes in prosperity. Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and walk in health, even as your soul prospers, 3 John 2. So it ropes all of that in. He said, I'm going to be El Shaddai, the God with the power to do every good thing, and I'm going to do those good things in your life. I'll be God. I'll be Elohim. I'll be the one with power in your life. That's amazing. If we just grasp that, when he's making this covenant to take them into a land that he's already said is occupied, fully occupied by the enemy, and he's going to eventually deliver them out of the land of Egypt where they're going to go during the lifetime of Jacob. And he said, I'm going to be God. I have power to be God. I have power to deliver, power to save, power to restructure, power to restore, power to heal. I'm Elohim. Now, my name is Rebecca. Suzanne, I was named after my grandmother's, One was Beulah Suzanne, the other was Letty Rebecca. And the good news is, I'm neither Beulah or Letty. I don't care if you bring back old names as long as you don't bring back Fanny. You remember the days when that was a popular name? Neither name means anything. I think Rebecca means Lily. My Rebecca grandmother was very, very tiny, about this big. My Suzanne grandmother, I did not ever know. She died during World War II, when my father was in the Philippines overseas. And when they found out that she had died, they let him come home. He was 3 to 6 months from being finished, and so they let him come home because his mother had died. And we did not know her. But other than being a family name, a hereditary name, they're not names of power as far as I know. Now, my grandmother was a good cook, but you don't inherit that, as you know. I'm a decent cook, but I can't cook like she did. I went over. She had several specialties. One was chicken and dumplings. So seeing she come to the end of her days, I thought somebody should conquer the chicken and dumplings. So I went. Oh, that was a hoot. I still remember it. She made her dumplings paper thin, thinner than a piece of paper. They were this thin. She rolled them out that thin and cut them in squares. She boiled her chicken. It was magnificent. And I watched, and she kept saying, "Now you have to do this in cold water. You have to do this in cold water. You have to do this in cold water." That was the dough. We were doing something doughy. Cold water. I remembered all that. I wrote all that down. And I tried 2 or 3 or 4 times, you know, and I finally said, "Forget it. Chicken," I told my family, "chicken dumplings is dead. Great granny's in heaven, and chicken dumplings is dead. That is gone." So when my mother was facing the end, I sent Suzanne. I said, "I'm going to keep Ashley. She was little. You go to your grandmother's." My mother's specialty was potato soup. See, these are learned skills. You may have an aptitude for it, but they're basically learned skills. Well, mother made a very unusual brothy potato soup, and Suzanne went and conquered that. And my mother said potato soup heals. That was her theory, based upon no facts at all. And so if you ever got sick, you could know mother's going to show up with potato soup. You know, I know you thought it was chicken and noodle, but it was potato. But it's a learned skill. Now, if we can wrap our mind and our heart, our spirit, this inward man around who God sees, I am El Shaddai, I am Almighty God. Some says Almighty God, sometimes says Lord Almighty. I am El Shaddai, I'm the one with power to do all good things. That means I have power to heal. And then he says, I'm God, I'm Elohim. Again, the one with power. There's great emphasis on God of power throughout the scripture. Now look at Exodus 6. This covenant is going to go down through Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph and come to the people of Israel. And in verse 2, God spoke unto Moses. He said, I am the Lord, which is the self-existent one. It's the one with neither beginning or ending. It's the one who always was. Well, it's a good thing that a God of power was and is and will be, isn't it? Yes. A God who has the power to do every good thing is the Lord. Same word, Jehovah. He said, by my name Jehovah, he said, I appeared unto Abram, Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, the one with power to do good things. But by the name of Jehovah, the self-existent one, the one who had always been, I was not known to them. Now, he had used that name Jehovah before, and all the scholars say is perhaps they didn't grasp the meaning of it. See, they would say God, and they're talking about idols and occult and worship of children and other things. They worship the moon. They worship anything that the breeze blew on. But when he said Jehovah, and I am God, or I am Lord, he specified, I'm the Lord, the one with power, the one with no beginning and no ending, not these idols that you're worshiping. Now he said, I've established my covenant with them. All the way back to Abraham, he established his covenant. He bound himself to bring Abraham into the promised land to establish his covenant until the seed, through the seed Jesus who was to come, so that the new covenant could be released and the Mosaic covenant, which was added as an addendum, so to speak, could be eliminated. You see that? But first, he's just trying to establish who he is. I am El Shaddai. I am more than enough. I am God Almighty. I am Lord. I'm Elohim, the God of power. And then he says, verse 7. I'll take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. That's exactly what he said to Abraham. I will be to you a God. Abraham said, I'll be God to you. That word God is Elohim, God of power. Well, if you're going to have a God, be nice that he's powerful, isn't it? If you ever had a friend that would help you if they could, but they can't? They don't have the resources, they don't have the strength, they don't have the transportation. But God's got it. He said, I'm going to be your God. I'm going to be power in your life. But I'm going to have to release my faith in that, see? Well, one reason we don't release our faith because I don't know when I've ever heard anybody talk about the nature of God. And I thought I was teaching healing in the covenants, which I was in a measure, until Thursday morning, Friday morning when I got up, it was so clear that God was trying to reveal himself to us in a deeper way. So clear to me. I love that when God does that. He says in verse 7, I'll take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. You shall know that I am the Lord, Elohim, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And then he says, I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. I am God of power. In other words, he has power over the land, over the tribes that live in the land, over the cities that are there, over the vast vegetation. You know, it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes from that land. But he said, I'm God. I am God. I am all powerful. Now turn to 2 Corinthians where he repeats this. We read these before. Just want us to review them in new light. 6:16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's a general name for God. I'll be the one true God. That's what it means. I'm the only God, the one true God. I am God. I'm the true God. And we've already found out he's the all-powerful God. He's the one who can meet every need, the God of El Shaddai, the God who has the power to do all good things. And he's the true God. He's Jehovah, the God without beginning or ending. See, if I know him, if I recognize who he is, then any problem I have, I can lay at his feet and walk by faith because I know his promise. I know his commitment. He's true to his name. In the Old Testament particularly, and in history, names meant something. When the glory of the Lord departed from the people, the next child born was called Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. Jacob's name means deceiver because he and his mother lied, cheated, and deceived. And the name had deep meaning, whereas my name is just my grandmother's names. But when God speaks, he says, I am Almighty God. I'm El Shaddai, the one with power to do every good thing. I'm the one true God. I'm Elohim, the God of power. Now, I told you I could torment you with the Cumbi line and tell you all about the Cumbis. I can't even get it straight, so I actually couldn't do that. There were a lot of Cumbis. And if you've been on my side of town, you know there's Cumbi Road and Cumbi Lane and Morgan Cumbi Road and Hardin Cumbi Road. And there was Cumbi Elementary. I think they've changed the name. And there's Cumbi Insulation. And Cumbis are rooted and grounded. Our property is deeded from the U.S. government in 1850-something. And so there are a lot of them. And I can't remember who's who. And if I'm going to explain, we're going to take 30 minutes. I'm going to give you the whole family tree. I can't remember. I said, now how many brothers did Morgan have? Now where does Aldine fit in? Now this lady that texts you all the time, it was a Cumbi that's now somebody else that married. Now who'd you say she was related to? See, I'm... But we cannot be confused about God. He's almighty. He's powerful. He's true. He's eternal. I love that he says, I am the Lord. And he says, I'll be God to you. That means anything in my resources, anything I can do, anything I have power to do, I will do. Now, this is bigger than that. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord, the one with power or authority. That means authority or power. And touch not the unclean thing I will receive, and I will be, and here's the next thing we need to, a father. You look up the word father. It says one who nourishes. This is the Greek. One who oversees. one who upholds. One who nourishes, that means anything you need that would support your body, support your family, support your lifestyle that's legal and not immoral. He said, I'm going to nourish you as a father. I'm going to nourish you. Well, the reason that the schools now have taken some children and sent them home with bags of food on weekends is because they do not have a father or mother who nourishes them. But God said, you and I'm going to be the father. I'm going to see. And he feeds your mind and your spirit as well, not just your body. He supports your lifestyle when he orders your lifestyle. He said, I'm going to be a father unto you. You'll be my sons and daughters. Says who? Lord Almighty. Is that amazing? So we know he's Lord Almighty or Almighty God. He's the one with power to do the good things. We know he's the true God. We know he's Elohim, or the God of power. And now we know he's your father. He will nourish you. He will oversee. Well, you read every now and then in the paper, some child that got hurt or injured, and the family goes to looking for them, doesn't know exactly where they are. They've lost track of them. They weren't properly supervised and overseen, you see. And God said, I'm going to oversee you. I love that. I love that. I love that. Because every now and then I think I hear God behind me going, And what your mother did, that's what my mother did. She go, And boy, that's exactly what that means. I mean, stop in your tracks, little lady, don't move another step. He said, I'm going to oversee you. Angels watching over me, my Lord, all day, all night. Angels watching over me. God said, I'm going to watch you. That's so he can notify you. You on the wrong road, Becky. And then he says, I'm going to uphold you. That means I'm going to be underneath you with my everlasting arms. I'm going to be your full support. Now you tell me, does any of that include healing power? When he said, I'll be the God with the power to do all good things, is that power to heal? When he said, I'm to nourish you as a father, does that include proper diet and exercise as he leads you to do things, and you're going to put that on it? We're not just writing these things down. We're going to do something, right? I'm going to supervise, uphold, and support. We used to walk our dog. We had four Pekingese over time. We had three at one time, and we were kind of collectors. And what happens, your children get married and leave you with the dog. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And so I love the Pekingese. I love the Pekingese. First of all, they don't care if you speak to them or not, and I like that. And their idea of a busy day is a square of sunshine. I like that. Don't like to be leaped on, and they don't bark. Don't very seldom bark. We were robbed twice, and we had three Pekingese at the time. We shut them up. We gated them in a room when we were gone. And I said to them, what were you girls doing? I said, if they'd been loose, they'd probably showed him around. I said, I think this is over here. They're totally unsupportive. But God said, I'm going to support, uphold. Well, we upheld them. We saw that they had the vet treatment they needed and the shots that were required. And we had to bathe them for fleas. We'd do the house, do the yard, do the house, do the yard. I mean, it just was an endless cycle because we're going to... Do you think God gets tired of you? He does not. He said, I am the Lord, I sleep not. He said, I'm always awake, I'm watching. You see that? And I'm extending my power to heal, watching over your body. We went to a restaurant. It only happened to me one time. And there wasn't very many people there, so we should have gotten an instant seat. But the girl came out and she said, I'll seat you in a minute. And she went to the kitchen. She didn't ever come back. She didn't come back for a long time. And the longer I sat there, the more I knew we cannot eat here. Never had that happen before. I don't know what was going on, but finally I said, she hasn't come back. We'll just disappear. We'll leave. We can't eat here. I told Wayne, we cannot eat here. I cannot eat here. Something is wrong here. Well, right after that, they closed down. They're gone. They're not even here anymore. They closed in. I don't know what was going on. But see, God says, I'm going to oversee. I'm going to watch for you. I'm going to watch over your body. I'm going to watch over your health. I'm going to supervise. I'll be your father. And he's a very active, watchful father. Now, when we turn to the 23rd Psalm, well, let's turn to John 10 first. We've got El Shaddai, God Almighty. We've got Elohim, God of power. We've got Father who nourishes, supports. We've got the one true God, the God who has neither beginning or ending. That means he was doing it, he's always done it, he's still doing it, he's always going to be doing it. Because he doesn't have, you know, some things come to an end. Chicken dumplings, they die. I think it just came to an end. I mean, I tried. Couldn't do it. Thank the Lord that Suzanne rescued the potato soup. Mama didn't make a cream potato soup, and we got used to, you know, you like what you've always liked, what your mother did, and the way your mother did it. And you may think, where's the cream? And I said, it's in somebody else's soup, it's not in mother's. You know, because that's the way she did it. Now look, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. That's the next thing I want you to add to your list. Shepherd, 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 shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. He's good at this. Is that amazing? He's a good shepherd. You know when something's good. You try a new recipe and you think, wow, that was good. But you know when something's excellent too. And God's not only the good shepherd, Hebrews calls him the great shepherd. He's really good as a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And he says, I'm so good, I'd die for you. I'm a shepherd who will die for you. And through my death, God becomes your father. And you accept his nature. And I'll walk in you and uphold you. Oversee your life. Nourish you. Keep you on the right road. Lead you of the Spirit. And now I'm going to be a shepherd. And then Hebrews 13 says I'm going to be the great shepherd. We were raised under this saying, you may have never heard it, but my daddy said all the time, good, better, best, never let it rest till the good is better and the better is best. Well, he said, I'm good. And then he said, and I'm great. Hebrews, this is a magnificent two verses, verse 20, chapter 13. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd, he's a great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Make you perfect, complete, full, mature in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. See, he's going to work in you because he's a great shepherd. He's going to work on your behalf and work in you by his power. He's a great shepherd. Now look at 2 Peter. And let me show you one more thing. There's three references, three adjectives. Do you remember adverbs and adjectives and all that? Verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear. This is a top dog. This is one of the very height of shepherdship. This word chief's only used here. It's not used anywhere else in the New Testament. And it means the head one, the one at the top. The chief shepherd shall appear. You shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. That's his promise to you. Chief shepherd, head shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, how about that? Chief shepherd. Chief shepherd, head shepherd, top dog, almighty, almighty, Lord, God, Elohim, El Shaddai. Now, God couldn't tell you everything about himself at once. And if you start in Genesis, you'll see gradually God revealed himself by different names. To Abraham, he was Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. But to Gideon, he was Jehovah Shalom, the one of peace. And he revealed to them himself by a name that they could relate to that showed who he was going to be right now, today in your life. I'm going to be Gideon was very afraid. God had asked him to do something he felt like he couldn't do. He said, oh, wait, you need to ask somebody else. And he became very afraid. And God called himself Jehovah Shalom. Now, Jehovah is the self-existent one, the one who's always been. Shalom is peace. The one who's always been peace. Was peace, is peace, will be peace. The God of peace. Always, Jehovah means the self-existent one, the one who's always been. The one who has neither beginning or ending. And so we have a good shepherd who's actually a great shepherd. And a great shepherd who's the head shepherd, top of the line. You know, sometimes we can't buy the top of the line because of our finances. We have to compromise. Yeah. I had a bedspread made. I wanted to be in a particular color family, and I found a fabric, and I found a lady. I was just babbling one day, I wish I had a bedspread out of that. She said, well, honey, bring it to my house. I'll make it for you. And she said, I'll make it for $150. And so I saved up my money, and I got my money. And actually, she undercharged me. And she realized that, but she kept her word. She did a great job, a great job. And years later, when I felt like that had worn out, but see, you're not going to wear God out. Did you know that? You're not going to wear him out. He's Jehovah, always been, never changing. My daughter-in-law called and said, let's go, they're having a big sale. It was a holiday, actually. It was a Labor Day sale, I think, or something. And I said, oh, good. She said, let's go. And I said, this department store. I said, okay, I'll go. And we did. Wayne and I and Joel and Shannon went. And they had that same fabric in a bedspread, same identical fabric. So I got rid of my old faded one, got me a new one. Paid a little more than $150 for it, even on sale, but it was on sale. And so at our house, that bedspread has just always been. Looks like it's always been. Wayne was in the attic one day, and he brought down a box. He said, you know what's in this box? I said, I have no idea. He said, well, it's that first bedspread. It's a floral and fruit print in red and blue. It's quite lovely, if you like it. So I knew a lady that always liked my bedspread, and I called her. I said, do you want my bedspread? I'm going to give it to you. See, God said, I'm Almighty God. I'm going to give you some things. I'm going to do some things for you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to yield my power to any need you have. I will be God. Now, if you come to the Lord is my shepherd, Psalms 23, you don't even need to look there because it's on your sheet. Hello. This is not an absolute, unalterable list. It can be done several ways. You can change words if you like another word better. Now listen, here's the key word of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. It's that little word, M-Y, my. When you come into the kingdom, the one who has power to do every good thing, the one who's El Shaddai, my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, this is written by a shepherd about his sheep. It's not written by a doctor, a lawyer, a baker, a candlestick maker. And what we do, we take this psalm and we read it like it was written yesterday. And in Florida, you don't know anything about sheep. The first sheep I saw were in herds, flocks, I guess they are, were in Scotland. Sheep are fragile. They're extremely skittish. And Wayne was going to get out, take a picture of the sheep. He may remember this. And the lady pulled over. She was taking us some places, and we were there to teach. And she pulled over the edge of the road, and Wayne got out. And before he got to the fence, it was 4 or 5 feet away. It was uphill. The sheep were down here at the bottom. He's going to take their picture. Before he got to that fence, which was 3 or 4 feet away, they were at the top of the hill. They're extremely, extremely fearful. Extremely, extremely skittish. And part of that reason is they have no means of defense. They don't have any way to defend themselves from predators. So they're totally dependent on the shepherd. You see, now if God is going to be our Father, if he's going to be the powerful one, he's also going to be the one on whom we can depend. You see that? The shepherd. Now, it says, I shall not want. If you don't want, you don't lack anything. God is meeting every need. You know those verses. I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed out begging bread. I mean, God is, you're free from insufficiency. You don't ever have any insufficiency. You don't ever have to have any lack. Now, you're going to have moments of insufficiency, moments of lack, but you're going to take this word and apply this word to your problem, to your insufficiency, and walk by faith until God meets every need out of his riches and glory, because that's his promise. That's his promise. That makes your God, the shepherd, a bountiful provider. It said, if God is your shepherd, if the Lord, the Almighty, the true God, the one with power, who is now through the new covenant of Father, if he's your shepherd, you're not going to have any insufficiency, not on a permanent basis. You remember Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Because when he lacked, he knew how to believe God for sufficiency. And when he had more than enough, he knew how to give away. He knew how to work with God by faith. Now look, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep will not lie down if they're afraid. And they're frequently afraid, very skittish. They're very, they call it the butting order. You know, in chickens, it's the pecking order. In cows, it's the horn order. You may not have known that. And in sheep, it's the butting order. And they will butt heads and destroy one another. And there's always a head sheep that's very aggressive to take charge, to rule. And they will kill one another, butting heads. So a good shepherd is going to take a compound of tar and some other chemicals, and he's going to rub the heads of the chief, the head sheep, whatever they call him, and the other sheep that might be his enemy that might come against him. Because when they hit heads together, they're going to rub off, they're going to fall off one another because their head's so slick. Soon you have a shepherd. You have a shepherd who sees you in the wrong place. You're headed in the wrong direction. You have a shepherd who's compassionate and is going to meet your need. Rivalry. If they're hungry, they will not lay down. If they're hungry. And if they have pests and bugs, there are several flies in most countries, one of which lays its larva on the sheep's nose and in its nose. And then when that larva hatches out, it embeds itself in the nose. They will actually kill themselves and beating their head against a fence post, trying to, because of the agony of the pain, or against a tree or a rock. But he said, I'm a compassionate father. Now, as a shepherd who's a compassionate father, he's going to do everything he can to meet the need of those sheep. You see that? To see that, well, the head sheep, the one who's extremely aggressive, and if he sees you eating in a grass that he'd like to eat, they said he lowers his head, squints his eyes, and that means you better move, buddy, and you better move now. Because he'll run over you and trample you. But God said, I will be compassionate. I'm going to see here that we can all be at peace. We can be one. No rivalry. No lack of spiritual, physical food. You see that? A compassionate father that says, I'm God to you. I'm Father to you. I'm all powerful to you. Do you see it? Doesn't matter where we go, you loop in healing. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down. And if they're lying down, they haven't got any problem. They've got no enemies. They've got no lack of food and provision. They're not afraid of anything. One guy, he's a young shepherd, never been a shepherd before, has his first flock, and he goes in at night and goes to bed like everybody else would go to bed. And he hears noise in the field, but he doesn't check on them. And when he gets out in the morning, a number of them are dead. If they get afraid, they'll run. And if one runs, they all run. Nobody even knows that the one past the first one doesn't know why we're running. And they run until they die. And those that are carrying lambs will actually abort those lambs running. And that morning, he's a new shepherd. He gets up. He's got nine dead with several lambs, several fetuses in the field. So he found he had to be always alert and watchful. That's what God is telling you. If it's rivalry, if it's fear, you've got nothing to be afraid of. I've not given you a spirit of fear. And see, nothing makes us more afraid than the doctor's reports saying you have cancer. Or you have arthritis. Or you have diabetes. Or maybe you're just like your mother. In some cases you think, no, she had, no, she had, no, we're not doing that. Now he leads me beside still waters. When we were overseas, we wanted still water. We didn't know that's what we wanted. We tried everywhere to get water. And every water they'd bring you had bubbles, carbonated. All the water's carbonated. Oh, it's just terrible. They don't do ice and they don't do, you know. So I was in... We were in a restaurant, it was recommended, and I asked the waitress, by chance, is there ice? And she said, they don't have a clue. She said, well, I'll go over to the bar and see if there's ice. Well, that'd be the only thing I'd want out of the bar would be ice, but she hollered, we got any ice in the bar? And the man says, ice? Another thing they don't have is water, just plain old water. So finally, another person in the restaurant said, "Ma'am, can I help you?" I said, "I hope so." "Tell them you want still water." That's what they call it. No bubbles. Still water. Well, now we know what we want if we can find any. So we stopped to gas up. We'd rent a car and we stopped to gas up. And Wayne came out. He was paying this bill. And we can't even count the money there. So he said, "How much of my money do you want?" He doesn't have a clue how to count the money. He said, "Do you know what they have in there? Do you know what they have on the shelf? It's Evian. I hate that brand. But that day, I loved it." And we went in. I said, "This is the amount of money we got left. How many bottles can we buy?" Even in the hotel, they bring you carbonated water in a bottle. Everything bubbles. Still water. And he's talking about these sheep. Saying, "You're sheep of his pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd is the Lord. And he's going to be a bountiful provider and a very compassionate father to solve all my problems. And a faithful peacemaker." You cannot make peace with water that bubbles. Can you? I can't. Forget it. Sheep will not drink if the water is bubbling, if it's moving. They have to have still water. So the shepherd checks. They are in the winter there down by the barn. In the spring, they run them up the mountain over several days. And they go up the mountain ahead of them and check the terrain and dam up the waters. They're dammed up from last year. If the dam has been washed out over the winter, they dam it back up because the sheep get overbalanced. They fall right in. They're just extremely fragile, extremely helpless, extremely skittish. They thought for years, and you'll read that everywhere, they weren't very smart, and that's not true. They used some sheep in California on a research thing, and then several years later, they wanted to add to their research, and they brought back most of those same sheep and found out those 5 years later, those same sheep knew exactly what they had done 5 years previous. So they're not as dumb as people told you they were. But he said, freedom from calamity. They'll drink polluted water. As long as it's still, they'll drink it. And then they get really sick. The shepherd said, "You're not going to have any." See, when you watch preachers on TV, I watched one I really loved until the other day. I thought, flabbergasting. And Wayne's watching. He said, 10 minutes in, "Are we going to watch this?" I said, "No, I think I'll go take my shower." I'm finished. Because God doesn't want any polluted water in your life, in your heart. And he's going to notify you because the Holy Ghost is in you and he's the teacher of the church. And he's going to advise you and teach you. And he said, these sheep are going to have still water. They're going to have good water. They're going to have pure water because the shepherd's watching. Is that the amazing? See, God is going to take care of you. Every need you have is met by God. See, what I want you to leave here with is knowing who is God. Who is he? And then, well, you know, John 7, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." When you walk with God, you have living water, water that brings life, straight from heaven. "He restores my soul." Now, sheep, if they get stuck, they will sit down in a soft, grassy spot and roll over and stretch out, and they cannot get up. It's called a cast sheep, C-A-S-T, a cast. They can't get up. Cannot get up, totally helpless. So at the end of the day, the shepherd counts the sheep. 99 sheep, you remember that? One's missing. If they don't go find that one, they're not going to wander home. They have no sense of direction. Where's home? They have no clue. And he'll find them, especially if they're carrying lambs. He'll find them stretched out, and they sit in a really soft spot, and then it's a little indention, a little hole, and they stretch out and roll over. They're stuck. So he goes out. We've got a sheep missing. He goes out. So he had a lamb that was missing every single day. Every single day, that lamb was missing. So he had to go out of town for 3 or 4 days, and he put his son. He said, "I'm going to give you a big reward, if at the end of every day you go find that lamb." And he said, we roll them over and we massage their legs. Now, why do you think the shepherd puts it around their shoulders? So he can massage the legs and get the circulation, because they may have been in that hole all day, you see. So he's going to restore you. Now, they'll investigate. The shepherd will investigate. Why couldn't the lamb get up? So sometimes they could have gotten up if they weren't overfed, if they weren't so fat. We'll leave that to your imagination. And sometimes they haven't been well fed and they're weak. So he said, we're going to adjust the diet. Give them a chance to get up. So he told his son, I'm going to be gone 3 days. I'm going to reward you mightily. At the end of every day, you go find that sheep and bring it back full. That's your shepherd. That's your shepherd. Says, where's Becky? Where's Rhonda? What happened to Matt? He's going to lift you up. He's a long-suffering deliverer. And then you have lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, if he leads you in paths of righteousness, he's going to be your guide. You're going to make right choices. Many are led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. You're going to make the right choice because you're going to follow his leadership. You're going to hear his voice. You remember Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice? See, he said, I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to deal with you by the Spirit. I'm going to make sure that you're on the right path. I love that. You're like me. You've had a time you didn't know what to do. Go left, go right. I never could figure out east, west, north, south. So in our other church where we were as a young adult, a newly married couple, Wayne would always tell me, listen, listen. The sun rises on the piano and sets on the organ. Now God will do that for you. He'll make his word very, very clear to you. He'll lead you so you can't miss a thing. He's a sure guide, a long-suffering deliverer. I want you to see who he is. The purpose of this is not for you to remember the details, but for you to know who God is. I walk, yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Freedom from fear. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. You know God's trustworthy. God has not given us spirit of fear. He's a courageous Savior, a courageous deliverer. To see that we're afraid, to anchor us, to show us, if you walk with me, remember he's a father who nourishes and upholds. He says, if you walk with me, I'm going to uphold you. You're going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Doesn't mean it looks fine. We're talking all of these are accepted by faith and walked in by your faith. Now, for thou art with me. Freedom from loneliness. Yeah. You know the little boy that kept calling his mama to come upstairs at bedtime and she wouldn't go up there and she kept telling him, God is with you. God is with you. And he said, I want somebody with flesh on them. Well, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's here. You may feel like the whole world's collapsed and nobody loves me and everybody hates me and nobody will help me and nobody will come to me. And Wayne and I have been by ourselves since March most of the time. Suzanne's there, of course, part-time. And I had two major spells. One was on a day I thought, I have got to get out of this house. I don't know what you do. I just know what Wayne and I feel led to do. And we're doing what we feel led to do. And you do what you feel led to do. We've got no problem with anything you want to do that you feel led to do. We've got no problem with that. But Wayne and I have been home most of the time. We go to the post office, the bank. We don't even buy our groceries. We order them online and go pick them up. So I had a couple lonely spells. So we wanted to go get some food, and we were going to just drive through. And I said, I'm going out to this restaurant. It's the farthest restaurant from my house I could think of. I'm getting in my car, and I'm going way out there. Wayne said, that's so far. Do you want to go there? I said, yes. Yes, I'm going to be gone from my house a good 45 minutes. I'm going way out there. Do you see that? Well, he said, I'm a faithful friend. Thy rod and thy staff. The rod is the word. The staff is the Holy Spirit. You don't have any reason to be insecure. He's a powerful companion. He's always there. The word and the spirit always available to you. The spirit dwells in you, lives in you. He's always there to help you, to prompt good things in your life, to point out what you need to do, where you need to be, the word to guide you, the spirit to explain the word. It's wonderful. I pray the Father, he'll give you another comfort and abide with you forever. So they're there forever. So he's a very faithful, dependable companion. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Now look, I've heard this preached many times, and even brilliantly a couple times, and they set a table and they put food on it. This has nothing to do with food on the table. This is a shepherd talking to sheep, and sheep do not pull up to the table. Okay, we got that part? In the spring, in the winter, they're down by the barn. That little man that lost 9 sheep, He said he slept with his flashlight in one hand, his gun by his bed. And the minute he heard a noise, see, that's the kind of shepherd you have. He rushed out there to free them from fear. The tableland is the top of the mountain. You've heard of tableland. It's the top of the mountain. And over time, over the spring, they will reach, because that's where the grass is better. And sheep actually don't have to drink water if the grass is right and they get them up early and they have dew on the grass. The dew on the grass is enough water for them. You know how I know that? I read a book on sheep. Well, he's going to lead them tableland. What he's going to do? He's going to send a team up. He said he even trained his children. Send a team up. They're going to check every spring, make sure they've got still water. They're going to block off, barricade any water that's polluted in any way that wouldn't be good. There's certain vegetation that would poison the sheep. They're going to pull those up, make sure they don't get into those. They have to decide where to bed the sheep down at night, because they're not going up top of a mountain in one night. They're going over the summer. And so they have to bed the sheep in a safe place. If they bed the sheep under the edge of a mountain, you understand there's a lion jump off of that mountain and eat them. And so they are very careful. And so they send a team up. Thou preparest the table. They're preparing the pathway to the tableland so that there's no enemies in that pathway to do harm or damage. Do you see that? A mighty leader. It takes a lot of knowledge to raise sheep. The sheep get very cold in the winter. They can get very cold and they can freeze to death. And he carries in his pouch a little thermos that he can pour a little bit of that down their throat and it warms them up because he cares. And he said the pastor next to him, in the shepherd didn't care anything about the sheep, and he had three lying dead, frozen to death. He didn't care. He said, I picked him up in my wheelbarrow, rolled him over to this man's barn, and he said, oh, thanks. And he threw him on his table, cut him up, and made meat out of him. You know, he didn't care if they were dead or alive. He said, and those poor sheep would stand at my fence and look over at my sheep that were healthy and well cared for and watched over and well fed. See, that's what God will do for you. He didn't want any skinny, sick sheep. The sickness comes. But if we have a shepherd, if we know he's my shepherd, the Lord, are you getting this? The Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd, my shepherd, who oversees, who provides bounty, who spots the danger, who provides still water and good food. Any enemy. We have sickness, disease, a friend or enemy. Yes, an enemy. Delivered us from the power of darkness. That's Satan and his group, translates to the kingdom of sin, spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them triumphing. He's triumphed. Jesus has triumphed over all the enemy. And we have a good shepherd, a mighty Savior, to see to it that we get the provisions of our covenant. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's freedom from sickness. That's a caring physician. We quote this verse a lot in Exodus 15. It says, I am the Lord that heals thee. I am the good physician, it could say. He sent his word and healed them, delivered them from their destruction. So, right there we have, if you have a shepherd, if you're in the kingdom, you have a shepherd. If you have a shepherd, you have a healer. Because the shepherd watches over his sheep very carefully. And several times a year they dip them for this little bug that gets in their nose and causes them to kill themselves on a fence post. They dip them, and they have to dip them totally under. So it's quite a process. They have to bring in all the dips and the trays and everything and run them up and enough weight to dip them under. We had a cat one time that we were going to leave with my mother while we were going to be out of town, and my daddy's a cat person, and so he said okay, but we didn't want to carry any fleas to my daddy's, you know how that goes, and so Wayne dipped the cat, and if you think the cat was happy about that, he was not a happy camper. But you see, they dip every one of these sheep because he's a physician. God is a physician. He's a caring shepherd who wants to see to the healing of the sheep. And that's why he rubs their heads with tar, those the head sheeps, so they don't kill one another, so they slide off of one another. So when they get, then they're very aggressive to fight with one another. He can keep them safe. Do you know God wants you safe, spirit, soul, and body? He knows he wants you educated in spirit. He wants your mind renewed. He wants your mind being totally untroubled, and he wants your body to be able to support you to your 95th birthday, or 85th, or at least 80. Now look, my cup runs over. I love this. You know what happens if the cup runs over? You're never going to be short. You know, my cup runs over. That means I got plenty of books to read. I got plenty of things to study. I got plenty of food in the pantry. I've got plenty of health and healing. I got plenty of friends. My cup runs over. Just keeps pouring, keeps pouring, keeps pouring. That makes him, are you ready for this? A never-ending source. Column 5, when you get home, if you just read down, and we're about 5 minutes over, and that's okay. You read down column 5, and you see who dwells in you. Who is God on the inside? Who is the shepherd? Who is the never-ending source, the bountiful provider, the faithful companion? Who is he? And he lives here. And then you have, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, that's freedom from need. That's an everlasting Lord. Now, these aren't sealed in cement. You want to call them something else? Call them something else. I was reading this list before I left home. You could always also call that an available master. Everlasting Lord. In other words, if I need something, well, goodness is here. If I need forgiveness, made a mistake, mercy's here. They're always here. Goodness and mercy. Never-ending source. And then the fowl dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's in eternal presence. Today, the day you're born again, the day you die, the day you ascend to heaven, if eternity had years, which it doesn't have time, but he'd still be there. We know if our earthly house of this tabernacle was desired, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. You get that? It's amazing, isn't it? I love the Lord's Prayer. I can't sing it. It's a good thing for you that I am not singing. But it occurred to me, if we know who God is, we'll never doubt healing. When we get sick, we won't doubt healing. When we have need, we won't doubt provision. When we're lonely, we won't doubt companionship. And if our cup runs over, all we're worried about is, who can I share this with? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
We thank you, Father, for these who've braved the rain, come out in their mask, been very attentive. Grind it into our heart, Father. Remind us over and over again of who you are. Because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the God who doesn't change. And who you were to Abraham, you are to Becky. Who you were to Paul, you are to Wayne. Thank you. Thank you.